Could drugs really fulfill you? Real life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with evangelists Ann and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, evangelist Don Lay.
Later in the show, you'll hear from Michael De Leon, who got into caffeine pills, then drugs, and it took him on a horrible road.
I think sometimes there are different reasons why people take drugs, and sometimes they think that, well, it's going to give me energy or maybe make me feel better. And it depends whether it's prescription drugs or street drugs, why certain people get into drugs.
Yeah.
I know for me, when I started smoking pot when I was younger, before I knew the Lord, it was more just to fit in, you know, and I would try it. And honestly, it never really gave me energy or did anything very good for me personally. It never made me happy or filled that void.
Yeah. No, I think a lot of people, they get involved with drugs because maybe it's fun at first, but eventually it gets to the point where it's an addicting thing. And there's this lie, which is, if I can just get my fix, if I can just get that next high, I'll be okay. But science tells us and shows us that that high caused by a drug, it reaches such a high level for the first time, but it never actually gets back to that same high. It can never reach back to that same high. And it always takes more to even get close to that.
Yeah.
And so drugs, will it ever fulfill? Scientifically, the answer is no. It just keeps building a crater deeper, down deeper, down deeper, to the point where you can no longer ever reach that high. And then something like overdoses happen.
And it's sad. I know that I was prescribed antidepressants when I was going through depression and became addicted to it years later before.
Wow.
But what happened with it, I felt like if I didn't have it, I might die. So it was more than just a prescription. It was an addiction. And what happened with me through that, it never really healed it. It just suppressed my emotions. So I never found true help or hope. But there is one way that I found hope. And there is one way that I found help. And drugs wasn't the answer for me. And it was Jesus. And he came to set the captives free. He came to bring us new life and life abundantly.
Well, I think that's interesting what you're saying. Because you're saying, quote unquote, which is, drugs don't bring fulfillment, but Jesus does. And that makes sense. I've experienced this, you've experienced this, and millions of people have experienced this fact. But the Bible even alludes to it. It says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, for you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power." We can be made complete in Christ Jesus. He will fulfill us.
Completely whole. And if that's you, just call out to Jesus and ask him to make you whole, that nothing else will fulfill, but he will. Let's stay tuned to hear our next guest after the break.
Colorado Christian University College of Adult and Graduate Studies presents Hope Fest 2017, Saturday, June 10th at Centennial Park Amphitheater. Tickets are just $39 and are on sale at www.thehopefest.com. Less than 5,000 tickets are available, so get them while you can. One day, one stage, 10 huge bands, and 5,000 of your closest friends. Hope Fest 2017.
Did you know that we have a way for you to win free tickets to Hope Fest? This week, we're giving away 2 free tickets to 1 lucky winner. Call us to enter to win the drawing. Our number is 877-480-4477. That's 877-480-4477. We'll be speaking at Hope Fest and would love to meet you at our Real Life Radio Show booth. Hope to see you there. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Don Lay.
Hello, everyone.
We have with us Michael De Leon, and he's going to share how after a 12-year prison sentence and after being on drugs and being incarcerated, how he got freedom. So let's welcome to the show, Michael. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Tell me about your upbringing and what got you into doing drugs.
You know, I was born in Ireland. Ireland. I moved to America when I was 3, back and forth for 5 years till I was 8 in a big Irish community in upstate New York called Pearl River, big Hibernian community. My parents, for some reason, decided to move to New Jersey, which I joke about it all the time. That was kind of a crazy choice, right? But I grew up in New Jersey in a great community. I was brought up a Catholic, you know, good Irish Catholic lad. Every Easter, every Christmas, midnight mass, boy, I was at church and penance once a year and bless me, Father, for I have sinned. And I took 10 Hail Marys and our fathers out of the confessional to the pew. And I thought I was good for another year. And I was brought up Irish Catholic. When someone said, you know, Jesus, I'd say, yeah, the guy on the cross, I heard his story. But I didn't know who he was. I had religion. And I didn't really embrace religion. I didn't really know who God was. I just read about him in a book. I had a great mother, fantastic father. You know, very young, 3 kids. Parents loved all of us equally, but they decided they didn't love each other. And so they got divorced. So, you know, we were all affected. And I grew up really hiding my feelings, stuffing them down. My favorite 2 words were, I'm good. When counselors asked me and different people asked me how things were going, you know, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. I was never good. And I needed to open up my mouth. I needed to ask for help. I needed to use my voice. I needed to tell people what I was going through. But I just didn't. It was better to stuff it all down. And I didn't really understand prayer. I didn't understand what I needed. And this is really the core of where it all began. I mean, I was not a little kid doing drugs. This is just where it all began. Everything I've learned over my lifetime about addiction and stuff is it's not about the drugs. It's about what's underlying. And my underlying thing stemmed all the way back to these early ages. And my mother decided that to get some kind of counseling or maybe I could talk to the priest who would help me deal with what she thought I couldn't deal with. She knew something was wrong, but she couldn't get it out of me. So I sat down with my Catholic priest. I was an altar boy once a week from the Catholic school I was going to. And my Catholic priest decided the best way to counsel me was through sexual abuse. I was sexually abused for 2 years until in the 7th grade I decided I wanted to move with my father. And I didn't tell my mother why and why I wanted to leave. But the problems and the trauma had already taken place and I just acted out behaviorally in middle school. I had a lot of problems in high school. Poor grades. Went to college. Didn't work out. Went in the service. Didn't work out. I just quit everything that I had started. And I was in my early 20s. I met my wife. Found myself in Charlotte, North Carolina and fell into the most incredible opportunity a guy with an entrepreneurial spirit could ever fall into. We started a small package delivery business in Charlotte, North Carolina, and it exploded. And I got introduced to amphetamine speed in a legal way, first through caffeine pills in the retail market, and then through illegal amphetamines to work. I looked at it as an asset. It kept me up. It kept me going. Right. Amphetamines were what I met, and it really led to serious problems, led to cocaine, led to heroin. I lost my business. I lost my home. I lost everything. And I moved back to New Jersey, where I ended up getting involved in gang activity and crime, breaking into houses, stealing things to support my drug habit. And I fell into gang activity in Newark, New Jersey, about 1994. And within a year, I was a full-blown drug addict gang member committing heinous crimes, running with people I wouldn't have wanted to accidentally bump into in an alley, and doing things that I never would have envisioned in my entire life. My wife came to her senses, took our 2 kids and left, and I moved in with my 63-year-old mother. I had nowhere else to go, and my mother wouldn't understand addiction or gang or crime she was presented with. And because of a drug deal that I had put together, because of my gang affiliation, some people got shot and some money and drugs went missing. I went off on a drug binge for 3 days to let things die down and lay low for a little while. And I was sitting in a rest area on the New Jersey Turnpike shooting heroin and cocaine, trying to figure out how to get my life back together and avoid the people who were looking for me because they held me responsible for what happened. And it dawned on me that it was Mother's Day. So I literally felt sick to my stomach. I wanted to get home and spend Mother's Day with my mother. And I came home at 7:20 a.m. on May 13th, 1995, to find my 63-year-old mother strangled and killed on her bedroom floor.
Oh, my gosh.
People people came looking for me and they found her. And the worst day of my life, finding my mother dead.
Oh my gosh.
I was held responsible. My gang affiliation, the investigation lay on me. And I ended up going to prison as part of this thing for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And I got out of prison after 5 years. And within 10 months, I was in a violent car accident. I was put on 80 milligram OxyContin prescription opiate pain medication. And that started a spiraling opiate addiction that led me back to heroin, cocaine, and right back to prison for 7 more years.
Oh, man.
So 5 years in prison wasn't enough to turn me around. I ended up going back for 7 more. But something changed that second time. You know, my father told me, you know, you could go do time in prison or you could make the time better you. And you went to prison for 5 years, but all it was 5 years. It didn't change you. And I really decided through some prison ministries to understand who God was and to learn who he was. But I still wasn't there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I came out the doors of the prison after serving another 7 years. And my wife was waiting in the car to pick me up. And we're driving down the Long Mile Road from the prison. It was a beautiful day, scattered clouds, blue sky. And I was looking in the side view mirror. And the prison was behind me, the guard tower, the barbed wire, even the sky over the prison was dark. It was surreal. And I looked at the mirror and I was kind of screaming at it or speaking out loud, like, I'm never going back. I'm never going back. I'm not going back. And my wife turns to me, who are you talking to? And I said, the mirror. I'm talking to the mirror. It was the prison, the image I was looking at behind me in the side view mirror as a reflection of my past. And God directed my eyes to the words, objects in mirror are closer than they appear.
Oh,
it was
wow.
Eerie. It was eerie. The Holy Spirit just kind of wrapped around me and God revealed to me, you see what's in your past. You see what's in your side view mirror. It'll be in your windshield if you go back to doing what you were doing. And I got on the right path. I decided to let God drive my life because I had been driving my life. But when I drive, I end up in the wrong place. I end up at the wrong exit. I end up lost.
Well, Michael, it sounds like as you left that prison, it was just like you said, right in your face that you could be back there again. And we're going to find out what helped you to stay out of those prison doors and how our listeners can do the same. So we're going to pray for people right now.
Well, Father God, we just thank you so much that there is redemption and that there is just a reality that addiction is not just people who just like drugs, but that there's actually something much deeper. And Father, I thank you that even right now that we're getting the revelation to understanding that the weakness of human frailty, that the drugs and the addictions is just something that's missing much deeper.
Mm.
Jesus, we thank you that you are the one who brings the solution to the deeper. So Jesus, if there's anyone listening saying, I'm dealing with addiction, I'm dealing with things in my life that are much deeper, I don't know why I do the things that I do. Jesus, we call upon your name.
Mm-hmm.
We ask for you to come, reveal light into our hearts where there's much darkness. Be the light, be the answer. We receive you now in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. God bless you all. Thanks for tuning in. Join us to hear the rest of Michael's story on the next Real Life.